You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
I'm not entirely sure where we were before we were interrupted, but...
Talking about a definition of perceptual distortion, sir.
Okay. Do you have kind of a succinct definition of what that is?
Yeah, so when you go into a crisis mode, for lack of a better term, your brain doesn't process information the same way it would if you were thinking rationally. The best example I could give that I think most people would understand would be when you're driving and you encounter a hazard or obstacle that you weren't anticipating and you get that jolt and everything slows down. You get the adrenaline rush and you just react to it. You swerve out of the way. You don't think about it. It just happens. But you don't really remember all the details. You might remember a couple of things. It might seem closer than it was. It might seem like time slowed down. There might have been a loud bang that you didn't even hear. Those are some common perceptual distortions that people encounter just throughout standard, adrenaline-filled incidents during the day.
Okay, that's kind of a simplified version.
Yes, sir.
As I hear you describing it, perceptual distortion to you, is it in an incident that's like a, for instance, a life or death situation.
Yes, sir.
Where you maybe don't hear or see or do things the same way you thought you did.
That's correct.
Okay. Have you studied perceptual distortion as it relates specifically to dynamic shooting incidents?
Yes, sir.
And when I say dynamic shooting incidents, what do you hear when I say that term?
The closest relation I would have to that would be an officer-involved shooting. You know, something where somebody had to use a firearm to defend their life or defend the life of somebody else, and resulting in a discharge of that firearm, and oftentimes striking another person.
Okay. In your work in law enforcement and the military, did you, I guess, have you identified, read, and absorbed studies related to those types of scenarios?
Yes.
Might be kind of a silly question, but probably not a lot of information out there about the mind and thought process of an ordinary everyday Joe in that situation, but there probably is a lot of information related to officer-involved shootings.
Yes, that's where the vast majority of the information comes out of, because the better records are kept. There's more documentation. There's more investigation.
Okay. What studies have you reviewed related to perceptual distortion in a shooting critical incident?
Well, there's only been there's been 9 big ones. Of those, we have some of the ones that we referenced earlier. We have Artwall, which is one of the most recent and most complete studies. We have Klinger, which was one of the largest studies. We have Honig and Roland, Honig and Sultan, and then Solomon and Horn was one of the very early ones in the 1980s. Those are kind of the big studies. There's been smaller ones, but those are the largest ones that really strove to get a large number of people in them.
Okay. When we talk about perceptual distortion, what types of things in your review of studies and your review of on-the-job critical incidents at the LAPD, what type of distortions would you expect to see?
So in the vast majority of these types of incidents, we get auditory exclusion. And auditory exclusion is when you are aware of something that should be causing sound, but you can't hear it. So in other words, oftentimes police officers will shoot and they'll say, I didn't even hear the gun. And that's one of the reasons why police officers and citizens, for that matter, have trouble recounting how many rounds they fired, because they're not hearing the rounds. Oftentimes, their ears don't even ring afterwards. And the next one would be, the next largest one by incident would be tunnel vision, which is
what?
When you are so hyper-focused on what is exactly in front of you that you are not able to take in all the details of the area around it.
Okay. In other words, you see one thing and to the exclusion of others.
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
Well, sure. I mean, moving down the list, we have a lot of time distortion. So in other words, and I think most people can relate to this, when you get scared or you're going through some sort of critical incident, things seem to slow down. In the vast majority of people that experience a time distortion will be things slowed down. Very small percentage get things sped up, but that's a very small percentage as opposed to the people who everything seems to slow down, go in slow motion. The other thing is you get heightened visual acuity. So in other words, the things that you are focused on, if you are experiencing tunnel vision, you'll see crazy detail. You know, one of the things that I remember reading in a report was, as casings were going across a police officer's face, his partner was shooting, he could see the federal on the base of it, which that's pretty amazing to hear. The mind's an amazing thing. And then lastly, we get these distance distortions, or distortions where people don't see, or they see something that's not there, or they remember it differently than what it was. So it could be, for instance, the color. You know, the color of the person, of the suspect's hat. It was a blue hat. Well, no, it was actually a black hat. So those things tend to get distorted on a fairly regular basis.
Okay. When we talk about time distortion, you mentioned slowing down. Does that often include time estimation? Like, in other words,
yes.
Someone involved in a critical incident asked to give a time minutes, hours, et cetera.
Like how long the incident took?
Yes.
Yes. That's very common distortion. People often underestimate the amount of time it took.
Okay. One of the things you mentioned a moment ago is like the number of rounds. What did you mean by that?
How many times the person shoots? So, you know, if you can't hear the gun go bang, then it's very difficult to keep track of how many times you pull the trigger. In fact, when people are scared, even people who have a moderate level of training, once they start shooting, it's very difficult to stop shooting until the situation changes. So if they're not hearing how many bullets are going off, how many times the gun is discharging, then it's very difficult to get an accurate count of rounds.
Okay. In the studies that you've reviewed and your experience in real life, have you encountered situations where things like the number of rounds fired from a firearm is inaccurately reported?
Yes.
What about the distance from object to object?
Yes.
What about the time frame in which a situation takes place?
Yes.
What about situations where large, obvious things to other witnesses are completely missed by someone reporting?
Yes.
And vice versa?
Yes.
I want to ask you, in addition to the things that you've studied in a classroom environment or in a research environment, have you personally experienced these types of distortions?
Yes, sir.
Could you give us an example?
Sure. Earlier I referenced the Bronze Star with a V. When I was in Iraq, even though I had had a lot of training, it was the first time I had ever engaged in combat. And I remember distinctly bringing my gun up, discharging the gun, and I didn't hear anything. I was cognizant of the recoil, and I was cognizant that I was cycling the action, but there was no sound that I could hear from my gun. But I could hear gunshots in the distance. Likewise, when I shot the person in front of me, I experienced tunnel vision. And I remember thinking to myself, because I did have a nice high level of training, I need to assess. I need to break my tunnel vision. I was able to realize I had it. And so as I turned to my left, there was another person standing there 10 yards away from me shooting at me with an AK-47, and I had no idea. I had no idea until I turned not even 45 degrees, maybe 30 degrees or so, and there was a person shooting at me. And it wasn't until I saw him, and there was two bullets, one hit between my legs, and I remember feeling it, and then one went by my right ear. And then all of a sudden I could hear really well again. And I was able to engage. When we did a critical incident debrief, when they put me in for the award.
Let me just stop you for a second there. What's a critical incident debrief?
When we talked about it afterwards.
Okay.
In other words, to gain group experience from the experience that I had. I told them, they were coming through a hole in the wall. Anytime you win an award for valor, they investigate it in the military. When they went back to investigate it, there was no hole in the wall. They were coming over the wall. To this day, I can describe to you, I can draw you a picture of what this hole in the wall looked like. There was no hole in the wall. Okay. They were climbing over it.
So in a situation where your life's on the line, you have to engage a firearm towards someone else and someone's shooting at you, you didn't see things that were there.
Yes.
You saw things that weren't there.
Yes.
You couldn't hear things that you know happened.
Yes.
Okay. In your dozens of officer-involved shootings, would you often be part of like a public safety debrief following a critical shooting incident?
Yes.
What is that?
So a public safety statement, in my department we called it a public safety statement, and it was just a very brief question and answer that the person who was involved in the incident is compelled to give. And it's so that a supervisor coming on the scene can send people out, one, to see if there's a, a suspect, two, to see if those bullets impacted anything, and three, to see if anybody else got impacted by those bullets so that we could make sure that we could triage a scene as quickly and efficiently as possible.
Okay. Sounds like a very brief statement by an officer who discharges his or her duty weapon about how many rounds they think they shot, what direction they think they went, to see if someone else could have been injured.
And the verbiage was very ambiguous. So about how many rounds, you know, general direction, things like that, because we understand that people's minds aren't quite right, and we don't want to put them in a place where they feel like they're giving inaccurate information. Okay. So we try to keep it wide.
When you say people's minds aren't quite right, you're talking about someone who's discharged a weapon.
Somebody who's gone through a critical incident or,
might not get all the details right.
Correct.
Okay. After that public safety statement is done, is there an investigation done by the LAPD into the officer involved shooting?
Yes.
Did it often happen when you would actually, not you, but whoever's investigating it that you're kind of supervising, would the investigation often reveal that the details of what an officer gave in a public safety statement were just wrong?
Yes.
Did that happen quite often?
Yes.
Was that kind of an expectation in law enforcement?
Yes.
Okay. In your department, when there was an officer involved shooting, were the officers who discharged the weapons required to participate in that public safety statement?
Yes.
So they were compelled. They had to as part of their employment?
Yes.
Were they also required to give a statement or a walkthrough of the incident?
Yes. There's always a statement, not necessarily right away, depending on the situation, but there's always a statement given. And then there's generally a walkthrough, although now with the advent of body-worn video, that's not 100%. Sometimes the investigators will just stick to the body-worn video.
Okay. You mentioned video. I want to talk to you about video in a couple different ways, okay? Many times when there was a walkthrough or a statement, let's just stick with the public safety statement. Would investigators often have the benefit of an actual video of the situation as it unfolded?
Yes.
And many times would that video tell a very different story than what the officer recalled?
Yes.
In fact, is that very common?
Yes, it is, sir.
Does it happen in most shootings?
Yes, sir. In the vast majority, I mean, I would never say 100%, but in the vast majority that I was a part of, there was some sort of, I'm just going to fall back on the word distortion, where... Okay.
In addition to the ones that you're a part of, the studies that you testified about previously, do those indicate a high percentage of shootings involving some type of distortion?
It's a spectrum, but it, on the high side, it's about 95%.
Okay. When you mentioned that there would be a walkthrough, was that also compelled with the LAPD? In other words, did the officer have to engage in that?
Yes. If there's a walkthrough, they're allowed to have representation.
Okay, so when the officer is compelled to walk through sometime later, he or she can have a lawyer with them?
Yes, sir.
To advise them?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and they're required to do that?
Yes, sir.
As part of their employment?
Yes, sir.
Prior to that walkthrough, did those officers get the benefit of reviewing that body-worn camera?
Yes, sir.
In other words, they get to see what happened before they do the walkthrough?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. In those walkthroughs, the 40 or so that you've been a part of, and you're intimately familiar with the policies of the LAPD, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Are those walkthroughs ever recorded for evidentiary purposes?
No, sir.
Why not?
Well, I would imagine it because before the actual body-worn video became part of it, they tended to not be 100% accurate, so the investigators would take everybody through the walkthroughs and then use that as a starting point for the investigation.
Okay. It sounds like recording it for evidentiary purposes may not be reliable. Is that true?
That was the general thought, yes, sir.
Okay. The type of recall that you're describing and the perceptual distortion of that recall, is that more prevalent in less trained individuals?
Yes.
For instance, let's say I'm a Navy SEAL and I've gone on 100 missions and I've fired my firearm in combat situations dozens and dozens of times. Statistically speaking, would I be more likely to remember detail?
Yes.
An individual who is not in law enforcement, isn't in the military, doesn't have training, statistically speaking, would they be less likely to recall?
In my experience, yes, sir.
Okay. Would you expect a citizen who discharges a weapon in a critical incident where a loved one's been killed or they have to kill someone to remember with exact detail things like distance?
No, sir.
Location?
No, sir.
Number of shots?
No, sir.
Exact time?
No, sir.
That'd be an unrealistic expectation, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Last one, sir.
Sir.
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good.
So if I hear you correctly, your background involves currently being a manager with Mossberg, correct?
Yes, sir.
You do expert consulting for Titan, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that is essentially what you're performing a function here today, right?
Yes, sir.
As a representative for Titan?
Yes, sir.
Formerly, you were with the LAPD?
Yes, sir.
And prior to that, U.S. Marine Corps?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Concurrently?
Concurrent.
For a portion. Yes.
Understood. I was reviewing your CV, and it's true that you are not a psychiatrist, correct?
Oh, no, sir.
Okay. You don't have any psychological background, correct?
No, sir.
You don't have any psychological training, correct?
No, sir.
I know you've referenced a series of studies, but just to be clear, you've never conducted any of those studies yourself, correct?
No, sir.
You've essentially reviewed them as one of the responsibilities of your job.
Yes, sir.
When I was reviewing through your CV, some of the things that I noticed is that you were a patrol supervisor for a portion of your time in LAPD, correct?
That's how I ended it, sir.
Okay, and so you were not a detective in that capacity, correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay, and I just, you know, listen, I'm familiar with Las Vegas PD, but a patrol supervisor, would it be fair to say that you might be kind of a supervising officer? You would go out to maybe a scene and work with patrol officers about preserving a scene, things of that nature?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Rather than, let's say, I don't know, a homicide detective who comes into a scene a little bit later if there's been a killing to kind of do the...
Yes, sir.
Kind of investigating. All right. I know that you did some work in terms of a firearm subject matter expert. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And it sounded like you helped write policies and procedures to teach officers on how to handle ballistics as well as ammunition. Would that be accurate?
Yes, sir.
Was that for the majority of your time at the LAPD, or what
yes,
did
sir.
You do the bulk of your work at?
It would have been at the firearms unit, 9-11 years, sir.
Understood. You mentioned that as part of the LAPD, you would assist command in reviewing information gathered from OISs. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And possibly provide them information about, as you said, potentially changes to policy, correct?
Yes, sir.
Or discipline, correct?
Not the discipline itself, simply the facts leading.
Understood. You didn't conduct any investigations in those OISs. You were collecting information from the actual investigators and then passing along
yes,
to higher-ups. Would that
correct.
Be accurate?
Yes, sir.
You didn't conduct any psychological evaluations of any of the officers involved in these OISs. Is that right?
That's correct, sir.
I want to talk a little bit about the materials that you reviewed in preparation for this case. Isn't it true that you reviewed an officer's report? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You reviewed a video of a walkthrough of Mr. Randolph.
Yes, sir.
And the other thing that you reviewed was some prior proceeding from Detective O'Kelly. You testified at a prior proceeding, yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. you did not have an opportunity to review Mr. Randolph's first interview with the police, correct?
No, sir. Those are the only documents.
You did not have an opportunity to review his second interview with police, correct?
No, sir.
You didn't review any recorded witness statements in this case?
Only the video, sir.
Okay. You didn't review any video surveillance from this case?
No, sir.
You didn't review any 911 recordings from this case?
Just the ones that were documented in the report, sir.
And I understand that maybe some of these things are memorialized in the report.
Yes, sir.
But just to be clear, you didn't actually listen to the words that were coming out of people's mouths on 911,
correct? Sir. Yes, sir.
You didn't review the autopsy report in this case?
No, sir. Again, just what was in the Officer O'Kelly's report.
Okay. You would agree with me, even in the context of going out to an OIS just to gather information, you would agree more information is better?
Yes, sir.
Because it gives you a bigger and more complete picture of what's actually happening?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you would want to have the most information at your disposal when you're offering an opinion in court, correct?
Yes, sir.
Because that would give you the full picture.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask you just briefly about your compensation. You were paid $350 an hour for each hour that you worked on the case. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
How many hours did you work on this case?
15.
Okay. Oh boy. If you don't mind, I'm going to pull up my computer. I can't do that math. So that would amount to $5,250. Is that correct?
That's what your calculator is telling you, sir.
If I told you 15 times 350 was that, and then it's $450 for every hour that you testify at trial.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does that also include waiting? I don't know if it includes waiting or not, or just when you're sitting in the chair.
Waiting too, sir.
Okay. So how long have you been waiting?
About 4 hours, sir.
Okay. All right. So if we just did those 4 hours, that's another $1,800. Fair?
Don't tell my wife.
Okay. All right. So all told, and we're not even including the time that you're sitting in the chair, we're at $7,050. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, the bulk of your testimony focused on potential effects on officers being in critical incident situations, correct?
Yes, sir.
And general things that you might expect an officer to have happen to them when they're in one of those situations, correct?
Have happened to their perception, yes, sir.
And it would be fair to say that based on the vast majority of these OISs that you have looked at or examined or even experienced on your own, right, these circumstances have been thrust upon the officer or the person involved in this critical incident. Would that be correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're operating from a standpoint of, you know, the situation came to the person, correct?
Yes.
It's a very different situation than if the person involved in the shooting created the situation. You would agree, right?
Yes.
Because if the person created the situation, the circumstances aren't coming to them. They're creating the circumstance, right?
Yes, sir.
So, for example, if someone were to, I don't know, stage a shooting situation, that is an entirely different situation than, let's just say, a routine officer going out, coming upon a situation where people start firing at them, right?
Yes, sir.
You would agree with me that if you've staged the circumstances, you're not under the same stresses because you already know what's going to happen, right?
Yes, sir.
So if you planned on having someone, for example, be inside your home, you're not surprised when you walk in the door, right? Because you already knew and set that up, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, if someone was with you and was completely unaware of that, that might be a very different situation for your companion, correct?
Yes, sir.
Because they would have no idea, right?
Yes, sir.
But not you, the person who staged it, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So when they are discharging, the person who staged it is discharging a weapon, they're not going through necessarily the same stressors. And there may be some stressors, but maybe not the same as just a totally kind of out of the blue, whoa, what happened here? I'm, as you were mentioning, you were kind of in this line of duty and someone's firing AK-47s at you out of the blue, right?
Right.
Very different situations, correct?
Yes.
And that's why context is key, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's why having the most information is really, really important, right?
Yes, sir.
And sometimes there can be, you would agree as an officer, there are motives that people might have for wanting to set up a crime, correct?
Everybody's got motives, sir.
Everyone's got motives. For example, I'm sure you understand this, money could be a huge motive to commit a crime, right?
Yes, sir.
If someone stood to gain hundreds of thousands of dollars from killing someone, that could be a motive to kill, right?
Yes, sir.
Love is another motive, right, detective? I'm sorry, not detective, officer?
Sergeant.
Sergeant, we'll go with sergeant. Right, sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Love could drive someone to kill, correct?
Yes, sir.
And a really deadly cocktail could be money mixed with love. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
That could drive someone to kill, right?
Yes, sir.
Desperation can be also a factor in committing a crime, right?
Yes, sir.
If someone is down on their luck, that could drive someone to do something desperate, right?
Yes, sir.
And if someone were staging a crime and identified someone down on their luck, that could be someone that you could work with to maybe accomplish your goals, correct?
It seems reasonable, sir.
Potentially promising this person money if they simply do a deed for them, correct?
Yes, sir.
In your years of working in law enforcement, I'm sure you have heard of people who have committed crimes to stand to gain life insurance money, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's a pretty common one, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Right? Sometimes people take out not one, not two, but maybe even three policies out on a single person. You've heard of that, haven't you?
I have heard of that. Yes, sir.
Sometimes people even stand to gain beyond life insurance, like homes or bank accounts, right?
Yes, sir.
Here's another reason that people might be able to do, and you just correct me if I'm wrong. Sometimes there are situations where people want to get rid of people because they're putting them in bad financial situations, right? For example, let's say someone's driving you into debt. You might want to get rid of them, correct?
Yes, sir.
That could be a motive to want to commit a crime and erase that person out of the way, right?
That seems reasonable, yes, sir.
And in this case, you haven't had an opportunity to review any of the bank statements in this, correct?
Correct,
sir. In this case, correct?
Yes, sir.
So you don't know how much Mr. Randolph is in debt because you haven't seen that information, correct?
That's correct, sir.
You also don't know what he stood to gain because you haven't reviewed any possible life insurance policies or any potential wills that are involved in this case. Is that correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay. So at the end of the day, when we're dealing with the dynamics that you were talking about, that operates essentially from a person kind of thrust into a situation rather than staging it, correct?
Yes, sir.
But let's just, for the sake of argument, let's move to some of the things that you talked about. You talked about perceptual distortion. And essentially, when people are in crisis mode, maybe when they're initially interviewed, they may not be able to get all the details right, correct?
Correct.
One way of at least helping ameliorate that or helping that out is maybe giving them another opportunity to talk about the situation, maybe at a little time farther away from the actual incident. You would agree with that, correct?
That's very common, yes, sir.
You would agree that it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be 100% correct, but one good tactic, at least, to maybe get a more complete story or get a version of what happened that's a less stressful environment is to pace out when you're speaking to these people about the interviews, correct?
Pace out? I don't want to.
Sure. Give you an example. I understand that in OISs, you'll have an officer involved in a shooting do a walkthrough at that point in time, correct? Generally right after it happened, right?
No, sir. There's usually a little bit of time. They give them a little bit of downtime, generally.
I guess it depends on the jurisdiction. I mean, you'd have no reason to disagree that sometimes officers hear.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But if you give them another chance to come back and talk again, and I'm not saying it's done with law enforcement officers where they come back multiple times, but that could be one way of getting a less stressed out version of the events from the person involved in the shooting, correct?
Sure. And it's also a way to get more information.
Right. So if someone had been interviewed not once, not twice, but three times over the span of a month, you might get a little more of an accurate read on the situation than if you just did it one time immediately thereafter, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And one of the things that you mentioned was, for example, you mentioned auditory exclusions, right? Sometimes people say they go through things, and I think even you mentioned it, when you were going through a shooting event, you couldn't actually even hear the gunshots coming from your own gun, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But sometimes there are people who do say, you know, oh, I did hear this or I did hear that, correct?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes they could be correct, sometimes it could be wrong, correct?
Correct, sir.
And if you had a recording of someone indicating whether they could hear something or not, that might be a good way to check to see if they heard something, right? If you had a recording of them.
In the
moment where they're indicating whether they heard something or not, that could be a good resource to review, right?
Yes, sir.
Right? So if we had a recording of someone saying, I don't know, I heard the shot, that might be a good piece of evidence to rely upon, at least to maybe reference and double check what's happening there, right?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Additionally, you mentioned time distortion, correct?
Yes, sir.
For a lot of people, time tends to slow down for people, right?
Yes, sir.
You would agree with me that it might be a good idea that if you have materials that might be able to objectively cross-reference or check what time things are happening, and that might be a good thing to look into, right?
Yes, sir.
So if someone said an event happened, and maybe you have phone records that might tie into that, that could be an additional supplementary source to look into a verifier, right?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
If you had, for example, like an eyewitness who isn't involved in any of the shooting but may have heard or saw things, that might be a good source to review to see and check with them, right?
Yes, sir.
And you could cross-reference it to see if things are checking out, right?
Right.
Let's talk about distance distortions. You mentioned one of the things that people who, you know, if officers, if they're not staging it, but let's just say an officer who's in a critical situation, they may not be able to perfectly get the distance, right?
Correct.
And that's a reasonable expectation, right?
Sure.
Would you agree with me that one way to maybe evaluate things like proximity is to maybe go to the scene where these things are purportedly supposed to happen and get a good look and document, like, how big is the space? Are we in a field? Are we in a room? Are we in a hallway? Things like that.
Yes, sir.
Right? That would be a good way to at least evaluate some of these things, correct?
Yes, sir.
Because then you'd be able to know objectively if someone is in close proximity or are they really far away, right?
Yes, sir.
And same thing, I think you mentioned distance to object. Again, going to a scene, measuring out a scene, observing a scene is another good way to at least cross-reference that rather than relying solely on the word of the person that's relaying the information.
Yes.
You mentioned that in your line of work, even with officers, that there may be approximately 95% of officers relaying some detail that is distorted, correct?
Yes, sir.
If I heard you correctly, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, you're not saying that when these officers relay kind of that an event happened, that every single thing that they said just couldn't be relied on whatsoever. You're not saying that, are
no,
you?
No, sir.
You're saying, like, you gave a great example about, like, oh, you know, someone didn't quite get the color of the suspect's hat right, right?
Yes, sir.
Right, but if someone is kind of saying, look, I'm standing in this general area and I did this, and then they're interviewed again, they said, I'm standing in this general area and I did this, and then they are interviewed a third time and they say, I'm standing here and I did this, that's a little bit different, correct?
You're referring to the consistency over...
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So if someone is telling you, this is where I am, you might tend to believe that, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then you mentioned that in less trained individuals, you believe, in your opinion, that they may be more prone to have more distortion than someone who's trained, correct?
That is what I've seen as a trainer for the last 30 years.
And let's, if you don't mind, if I just want to delve into that a little bit. You haven't conducted any studies with regular civilians, have you?
No, sir.
Okay. And I'm not saying it's not necessarily true, but I just want to kind of get nail this down. You haven't done any studies. You haven't done any psychological examinations, correct, of any civilians on this?
No, sir. I'm not qualified to do that.
Okay. And to be fair, I mean, there are citizens that go through traumatic events all the time, correct?
Correct.
So, for example, here in Las Vegas, we had one October, right? Those people went through a number of horrible things. But, I mean, if they recall, look, I'm generally here and these are the things that are happening. I mean, they're not 100% off base on that, correct?
Right.
They may have a couple details wrong here or there.
Yes, sir.
But if they're, you know, the big moments, they're likely remembering, correct?
I couldn't speak to everyone, but it seems like the stories would kind of bear out the big general things.
And Sergeant, again, when we're talking about those type of individuals, those are individuals when the crisis is thrust upon them, correct?
Yes, sir.
We're not talking about an individual that has planned and staged it. Isn't that right?
That's correct, sir.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Do you know what you were retained to do in this case?
Yes, sir.
You know that you're an expert witness, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, in order to testify in a case like this, there's a notice that's filed that announces that you're an expert witness, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you know that you were noticed as a use of force expert, right?
Yes, sir.
And you are that, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you were noticed to provide opinions about the effects on someone in a dynamic shooting situation, such as sequencing, placement, and recall.
Yes, sir.
And you have the ability to do that, right?
Yes, sir.
You were provided with a limited number of pieces of information, right?
Yes, sir.
Because you weren't here to investigate what happened in a case like this, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you certainly, Mr. Hamner, that's the prosecutor's name, never met him, right?
No, sir.
Met me for the first time today, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. A few weeks ago, I emailed you some documents and said, take a look at this, and we're going to call you to testify, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You understand that the jury, when you testify in a trial, is the group of people that decide what happened, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And certainly, they're capable of doing that, right?
Yes, sir.
You understand that a prosecutor can get up here and give you a million scenarios about what you're not noticed to do, what you're not provided with information to do, spinning his own motive. You understand that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. A lot of people have motivations for things, right?
Yes, sir.
For instance, if someone, I don't know, shot your wife in the head in her own home, you might want to fight back, right?
Yes, sir.
And in that situation, you don't choose what happened to you, right?
I mean, there's a binary option at the beginning. You can run away, but if you're perceiving a threat, no, there's no choice. You're going to fight.
Okay. And if you fight, statistically speaking, you're probably not going to get every detail right, correct?
Correct.
You might get the large number of them right.
Yes, correct? Sir.
And if you're being honest, you might say things like, I don't have any idea how many times I shot, right?
Yes, sir.
Or I think I was in this area, right?
Yes, sir.
And you could get it a step or two wrong, right?
Yes, sir.
Does that mean you're lying?
No, sir.
It's pretty normal, isn't it?
That's very typical, sir.
Were you trying to lie when you gave information in an investigation related to the Bronze Star?
No, sir.
Did you get a few things wrong?
Yes, sir.
Did you get the majority of it right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Hamner asked you about your compensation. You're a professional who's being paid for your work, right?
Yes, sir.
So am I. So is she. So are they. Like, you understand that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. As a law enforcement officer, were you ever called to the stand to testify?
Yes, sir.
How many times?
Hundreds.
Okay. As an expert witness, have you ever been called to the stand to testify?
With the department, I testified as an expert witness 3 times, sir.
On behalf of law enforcement, as an expert?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever in your life testified as an expert for a defendant in a criminal case before?
No, sir.
Okay. In this particular case, were you given a walkthrough video?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it's a video where someone is asked to act out the sequencing, location, and events of a dynamic situation.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen a law enforcement officer have to do that?
Not on video, no, sir.
Objection relevance?
I had asked you about this walkthrough video. You had an opportunity to see it, right?
Yes, sir.
So was the jury. Have you ever seen a law enforcement officer have to do that same type of walkthrough for an evidentiary reason?
No, sir.
It would be unfair and unreliable, wouldn't it?
Objection, that's an improper opinion. Often improper opinion.
I don't think it calls for it.
We can approach on this if he's going to expound.
Okay. You agree with me that you reviewed the walkthrough video in this case as it relates to the use of force expertise that you have, right?
Yes, sir.
And you agree with me that type of evidence is unreliable, right?
Objection. It's an calls for improper opinion.
It definitely does not. You agree with that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The situations that you mentioned before where law enforcement does a walkthrough, they're compelled and required to do that, right?
Yes, sir.
You know that Mr. Randolph wasn't required to do that interview.
Yes, sir.
Okay. He was trying to help law enforcement, right?
Yes, sir.
Objection. Calls for speculation.
Okay. On that video, he indicates that he's cooperating with law enforcement is there of his own free will, right?
Yes, sir.
And it appears that he answers their questions in that walkthrough.
Yes, sir.
You would agree with me that the idea that being able to recount a dynamic critical force situation like that with specificity on things like location, sequencing, timing, probably pretty unlikely, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Unlikely.
So you just testified on redirect examination that in your opinion the walkthrough was unreliable. You just said that 2 seconds ago?
Yes.
No, yes or no?
Yes.
That's your testimony. You made that determination even though you didn't review the interview, the first interview, correct? No, yes or no? You didn't review the first interview, did you?
No, sir.
You didn't review the second interview, did you?
No, sir.
You didn't review a shred of video surveillance, correct?
Correct, sir.
You didn't read any bank statements?
Correct, sir.
You didn't read any life insurance policies?
Correct, sir.
You didn't read any recorded witness statements from anybody who had a recorded interview? Correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay. You would agree with, you told me on cross-examination more information is better, correct?
Yes, sir.
You said that you prefer having more information before you render opinions in cases that you're hired to do things, correct?
Yes, sir.
You have been paid $7,000 to render an opinion and you didn't review any of those materials, correct?
Correct, sir.
You would agree with me those might be pretty important information before you tell this jury that you think that walkthrough is unreliable, correct?
Sir, it
yes
wasn't
or no?
relevant
yes
to
or no?
what
you,
I was
yes
talking
no.
about.
Yes or no? Do you think it would be pretty good for you to have all of that other information to review before you make the call that the walkthrough is unreliable?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Bank statements, witness interviews, other memorializations of reports have to do with an investigation, right?
Yes, sir.
Does that have anything to do whatsoever with the statistical representation that there is perceptual distortion
no,
in
sir.
A shooting incident?
No.
Would any of that stuff help you with the opinions that you were actually noticed to give?
No.
Other than all the flair and the drama of Mr. Hamner, that stuff has nothing to do with your job, right?
No, sir.
Okay. Nothing further.
Who are all the studies you referenced conducted by?
Police psychiatrists.
Who are all the studies you referenced paid by?
I don't have that information.
How big were the data sets in each of the studies you referenced?
They ranged. The smallest was 25. The largest was 962, I believe, thereabouts.
Mr. Thompson, any follow-up based on your questions?
In addition to the, you mentioned that the majority of the studies were police psychiatrists.
Psychologists, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You also reviewed a summary of studies conducted by the University of Prague. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's the largest conglomeration of different studies.
It's an easy compilation to review.
Okay. Nothing further.
Mr. Chairman, any follow-up based on the jury question?
Your Honor.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any further questions for this witness? Okay, seeing no response, everybody, please, thank you very much for your testimony here today.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, have a great day. We're going to take the shortest recess in the history of this trial. We're only going to be in recess for 5 minutes. We need to make a determination as to our start time tomorrow. During this recess, you must not discuss or communicate with anyone, including federal jurors, in any way regarding the case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. You must not read, watch, or listen to any news or media accounts or commentary about the case. You must not do any research, such as consulting dictionaries, using the internet, or using reference materials. You must not make any investigation, test the theory of the case, recreate the aspect of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own. You must not form or express anything regarding this case or the findings submitted to you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 4:45. We can recess till 4 p.m.
All rise for the jury.
We are back on the record in C-250-966, State of Nevada versus Thomas Randolph. May the record reflect that Mr. Randolph was present with his attorney, deputy district attorneys on behalf of the state. Do both parties stipulate to the presence of our jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Judge.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of the witnesses for today, but we will pick back up tomorrow, so I know you guys are so tired of me reading you that this admonishment, but I will read it to you before you leave today with our start time for tomorrow. We're about to take our night recess. During this recess, you must not discuss or communicate with anyone, including fellow jurors, in any way regarding this case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. You must not read, watch, listen to news or media accounts or commentary about the case. You must not do any research, such as consulting dictionaries, using the internet, or using reference materials. You must not make any investigation, test the theory of the case, recreate any aspect of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own. And you must not form or express any opinion regarding this case until this file is submitted to you. Actually, can I have counsel for the jury? We are doing our best to wrap this up and make sure you guys will be out of here by Friday, just like I promised you. But in order to do that, we have to fluctuate the scheduling a little bit. So tomorrow we're going to convene at 11:30, but we will not be breaking for lunch, so I need you guys to eat before you get here, if you don't mind. We will be breaking in the afternoon, so you guys can have a snack, but we are not going to have an hour and a half lunch, but we're not starting until 11:30, so I need you guys here tomorrow morning at 11:30. Okay? All rise for the jury.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.